Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We've got a player profile here on Sean Tucker out of Syracuse. Fun story. I spent a ton of time and effort, including a rejection, getting credentials, media credentials to go. I mean, it's 5 minutes from my house. So I went over there, you know, get the media treatment after some rejection, some persistence, right? And then I got to see nothing. So he's going through some unannounced injury. He's going back to the combine to get retested. He's posted a workout video, so he appears to be, you know, in good enough shape and healthy enough to run, to jump. You know, I will talk about that in a second. I'm not sure what to think in terms of the injury stuff, right? I'm just not sure what to think. I'll say this. Right? The first one of these we did was Devin Archer. And Archer didn't just doesn't fit with, like, he's not just not big enough. Tucker is maybe a less explosive version, but a better version, a more usable version of, like, that type of player. He's going to put you in a lot of awkward angles. You consistently on tape see defenders taking bad angles. Right? It's constant. It's just really fast, right? That's kind of the deal, and explosive. Good as a pass catcher. Right? I'm not sure he's necessarily great, but he's a good pass catcher. You know, you see him do some of the stuff, like there's some concentration drops. I don't think it's bad hands. I just think, you know, you saw a couple of them where he just dropped a couple passes. I think I watched like 4 or 5 games. You know, I've watched him his whole career, but I watched like 4 or 5 games of, you know, actually just, you know, sitting down sort of, you know, for the purpose of this podcast. And I watched him from this past year and 2021. And you just see, right, you see him catching the ball well, right? He runs some routes from out wide, right? It was effective whip routes, like that type of stuff. I thought he showed good awareness, like some sideline stuff as well. You know, so good in that sense as a pass catcher. I think where he sort of fails is just some, like, just looked up to run after the catch before he drops him. So I think, yeah, that's a concentration drop. I don't think it's necessarily bad hands. You know, I think that's, you know, that's kind of the angle there with him. I would say this. I don't know if he's going to be able to, between the tackles, hold up. I just don't know. You know, he just doesn't necessarily move. Like, he's not going to move bigger defenders, right? He can play against, you know, he can play against linebackers, right? He can break tackles against safeties. He's going to put secondary defenders in bad angles, right? And he can run through some stuff sort of down the field, but he is not going to be an interior short yardage type runner. Like, that's just not where he's at. So that's kind of the, again, how much you can really be doing that, right? I one of the things I thought of is he's like a less, is he maybe a better runner, but a less pass catching, accomplished player, as James Cook, right? That's kind of the player that I thought of with him. I'm kind of, you know, using some similar, you know, some similar type skill set, similar type body size, you know, doing those sorts of similar things, but maybe a little bit more accomplished runner than James Cook has been, and maybe less of the receiver, right? So that's kind of the thing that jumped out to me. When you look at some of the rushing stuff here, in terms of his career grade, 85, it's an 88th percentile type number, 69th percentile broken tackle rate, yards after contact, he averaged 3.5. That's good for 70th percentile. Breakaway yardage, 27% of his yards came on breakaway runs. Not that high. It's a 21st percentile type run. Career yards per route run, 1.05. That's 55th percentile. 15.8 targets per route run. That is good for 53rd percentile. I noticed a bit that they would use him in some flat stuff, right? Just get him out in the flat. It was a game against Clemson where it was just like, you know, get him out in the flat, get him out in the flat. Like, it was, you know, on their first drive, they targeted him like three or four times in the flat. And then he set up a wheel route and won, right? There was a couple of wheel route touchdowns that if they had been completed, his yards per route run would have gone like through the roof. Like, it'd be massively different. Again, I'm sure you could say that with everybody. But there was some stuff with him where I kind of was like, man, like, you know, what would that look like? You know? So that's the thing. You know, well, the other thing I would say too about his hands, I know he had five drops. That wasn't good this past year. Again, I thought they were concentration was one thing where you saw that actually pop up. Like, he just dropped a toss sweep. And you could look, you could see him, you could see it happening. And it happened in slow motion in real time, right? Like, you could see him, it's a toss, and he looks up, right? That he's looking at the ball sort of come to him, and he looks up as it's about 2 feet in front of him. And the ball goes off his hands, and then he's got to chase it down, scramble, and he recovered it, like, incredibly. Like, I don't know how, like, it was an incredible recovery. That's kind of the angle there with him. So good, right? I think he's a really good player. What's his fit? PFF comped him to Jonathan Taylor. That seems like Taylor's just bigger. Like, he's just like a standard deviation bigger than Tucker. So that wouldn't be necessarily the comp that I would use. You know, I don't like those size comps that aren't right size wise. Right. So, again, Taylor came in and, like, there was some passing game stuff with him that I actually liked a lot better than the market did, because, you know, they just didn't throw it enough. Like, they didn't throw it a lot. Like, we can really get fooled by, you know, bottom line sort of aggregate numbers when we're just looking at the numerators and not dividing them by the denominator. Right. So if a team's only throwing it 20 times a game, right, your receiving numbers are going to look a lot worse, right? That's just, like, that's a fundamental, like, that's easy. And I think the Dynasty Marketplace can mess that up. So, you know, with Tucker, again, the offense wasn't great, right? It hasn't, you know, and he, I think at times this past year, like, I think he had a down year this year as opposed to in 2021. So overall, I think, you know, draft pedigree is going to really matter with him. You know, and you look like, so he did the testing stuff. So again, I'll be curious on the medical sort of where that comes down. He did the testing. He posted it online in a video. 5'11", 207 was what he measured at the combine, 28 bench, a vert of 41.5. That was at this like private testing that he did, and a 40 yard dash of 4.33. That puts him, I just looked at his RAS score, cause you can't do it with mock draftable, but I just looked at his RAS score, which is, I believe, relative athletic score. And you just look at sort of his comps, Reggie Bush, Tatum Bell, Ben Tate, Tevin Coleman, Bryant Kobach out of Toledo, actually from last year. I think the Tevin Coleman one's an interesting one, right? Like, if you kind of say, you know, what was the shake on Coleman? Like, not a full three down guy, you know, wasn't really that great of a receiving, but, you know, he kind of was like a change of pace guy that, you know, they schemed up some stuff for him as kind of a schemed receiver, but he really wasn't that. And he kind of had this angle where it was like, hey, we like him, you know, he's, you know, could he have a bigger breakout? And it was always like Devonta Freeman was better, right? And then he went to San Francisco and, you know, reunited with Shanahan and never really happened, right? I find that to be an interesting comp. I think so much about what happens with Tucker is going to be draft pedigree. And does he retest, right? Does he run a pro day, you know, late April, right? That's, people have done that when they've had the medical issues. We'll see what he does. Tucker seems like he's a little bit of a weird dude. I don't know. Maybe it's just familiarity breeds, you know, knowledge about players that I wouldn't catch up on the quirkiness of someone that's going to, like, you know, UCF. But I see it enough with Tucker because it's sort of front of mind. You're like, again, he's like a 21-year-old kid, but, you know, it just does some, he does some weird stuff. So I don't necessarily know what his, you know, what he's going to do and all that. If he's going to retest or all that, or, you know, what he's going to do there. So we'll be watching that. If he's a day two guy, right, I think he's going to be a pretty interesting round two rookie pick. That's kind of what I would see with him. If he's going to be a day three guy, I think, you know, late round two, something like that, into round three, I could certainly see that. Again, I like guys that have trump cards. I don't think he's a bad receiver. I think he just, I question how much good coaching that there is at Syracuse, how much player development that there is. If Dino Babers maybe spent a little bit more time developing players instead of driving recklessly through parking lots and nearly hitting yours truly, like, you know, maybe they would be, you know, a little bit better. But the lack of attention to detail is something that has plagued the program, and, you know, Tucker with concentration drops is sort of, you know, right on par. So does he get some better coaching? Does he get some better player development and the like there? You know, they kind of get him into a good working environment, and maybe there's some growth potential, right? I can see that with the receiving stuff, because I think, like, he does some stuff that I don't think is necessarily, it's beyond just sort of basics, right? Feeling some comfort on whip routes, right? Feeling comfort along the sideline, those sorts of things. I think he's got room to grow as a passer. So that's kind of my optimistic, as a pass catcher, that's kind of my optimistic take on him. So again, I think a lot of what happens will be determined by his pedigree. We'll know that. I think, again, like, if he's a round two guy, right, he's going to be pushing end of first round rookie, you know, in the second round rookie pick somewhere in there, like that early sort of that AJ Dillon range. That'd be appropriate. But if he's more, you know, into, you know, later, you know, round three, something like that, mid second. Round four, round five, right? You're looking second, third round. Again, I'd prioritize him. Like, I'd put him over Arshay. Like, there's no doubt, right? He's just bigger. And what a Shane can do from, like, a difference-making perspective on maybe a handful of touches, Tucker can do with a little bit more reliability, right? So, again, if you're looking, like, later second, and it's a round three pick, you're looking later second, and it's, you know, you get kind of Tevin Coleman, right? Like, I just don't think Tevin Coleman, I think he just was a kind of chronic underproducer, right? He was kind of a chronic disappointment, but had his times. He's a hit, right? Like, that's kind of, I think that's an interesting comp. Again, Reggie Bush was more of a pass catcher. Tatum Bell, those are a while ago, but, you know, Ben Tate, just couldn't really get off the ground. Like, he was supposed to be the guy before it was Arian Foster, but got banged up. I believe it was an Achilles, and you know, it was kind of the end of his road there. So yeah, I mean, with Tucker, I think overall, you know, that's kind of my spot on him, and, you know, we'll see. PFF has him as running back nine. You know, they like him, you know, as a zone runner was sort of the thing that they liked more than anything, you know, more than as a gap runner. The hands, you know, a question for sure. They had him as a his positives: elite juice, shot out of a cannon as soon as foot hits the ground. Built like he's carved out of marble, very low body fat, and then defenders bounce off him, bounce off his thighs. He eats up arm tackles with ease. I don't think that's true of defensive linemen. I think that's true in the secondary. you know, they comp and say size doesn't match his running style, runs like he's 20 pounds heavier. Again, I don't necessarily agree with that on the interior. I think he gets swallowed up by offensive linemen, or by defensive linemen, you know, so that's kind of their angle. And then, actually the Ringer doesn't even have him ranked. So again, I would differ with these ideas of putting a Shane ahead of him, just because, like, maybe from a football perspective, that's true. But I think there's a very little chance that a Shane ever gets like 12 to 15 touches for a sustainable amount of time. And as a difference maker, where I think, you know, Tucker, right, if he's a poor man's version of, like, if he's a smaller man's version of, of Jonathan Taylor, like the one comp, or, you know, if he is Tevin Coleman, right, there's room to grow there. And I think that's usable. Maybe he doesn't necessarily get a full-time starting job, but if he's an injury away guy, right, I think that's a guy that can actually make a difference. Whereas I don't think a Shane can. So there's your differences there on those two. That'll put a bow on it for this podcast. Again, hopefully we'll get some more data here on Sean Tucker, but I'm not counting on it. That'll do it here for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.